Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares the Economic Development Subcommittee meeting held on Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. The meeting was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. The chair, Melanie Hamblin, opens the meeting. New member Brian Chandler joins the group to replace Eamon McCarthy Earls, who is leaving the council to go to law school. There's a brief update on reopening provided at the beginning of the meeting. Discussion of a grant application being readied for distribution, possibly next week. Conversation then shifts to the market study and picking up on prior meeting discussion of advertising placemats at restaurants, adding QR codes to help with finding things, also mention of a Franklin First campaign that's in the works to develop and help foster buying local. Complete Streets and the details around that function are reviewed. Some of the impact has been seen with the work on Main Street in the downtown project that was completed a couple of years ago. This would be a policy, not a bylaw, to help address planning for the street, to consider all modes of transit rather than just the auto, which is prevalent today. The recording runs about 50 minutes, so let's listen to the discussion from the meeting of the Economics Development Subcommittee.
Citizens to ask questions, voice concerns. If residents are just interested in watching the meeting, it will be also live streamed by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 29. So welcome everyone. I wanted to first introduce you to Brian Chandler. He has graciously accepted to fill in for Councillor Earls. Thank you. I'm going to take this down because it is hot in here. I think Councillor Bassanti is right. But thank you, Councillor Chandler, for joining us. And we are going to continue with our discussion about the market analysis. But first, I think we have a COVID-19 Phase 3 update, a micro enterprise grant update from Jamie.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and through you to the EDC and the folks watching from home. So, we've been traditionally, I think, putting this on the EDC meetings to kick off just so there's an item on the agenda in case anybody had any questions. I think I've mentioned this many times on radio shows as well as council meetings. I think most of the public is aware, we're still in phase three of this COVID reopening. Happy to obviously answer any questions. Chrissy is actually on the call. She's been coordinating the micro enterprise grant. And so I would pass over to Chrissy, if she's there, to give us a brief update over Zoom on where the micro enterprise grant process is. I think we're going to be releasing something tomorrow to get folks to apply, but I'll let her fill everybody in really quickly, and happy to answer any questions, of course. Chrissy?
Hey, everybody. So there's still a few kinks to work out, but we will be sending out a pre-screen survey to obtain a list of interested businesses who may be eligible for this grant. This list will help us get more information out to those businesses and reach out when the application is open. There will be a Zoom information session on September 16th. That any questions regarding the grant, businesses are welcome to join in via Zoom. That link will go out soon. Mm-hmm. And we don't have all the specifics on income limits and requirements for the grant yet, but we'll get those out as soon as we have them. And that's about it. If you have any questions, let me know, please.
The one item I would add is that I believe tomorrow we're going to send out it's required to do a pre-application screening. And the one thing that is most important for everybody to understand is the first requirement for this grant is that you can only have five or fewer employees as part of your business. That's what this is designed to help. We know that there's help in other ways. But obviously micro enterprise, we're looking out. This is really designed to truly assist some cash flow for businesses that are our quote unquote mom and pops, right? That really have very limited employees. Folks may, say something like a service-oriented industry, like a massage therapist. You had 8 employees, but now you have 3 because of COVID. Mm-hmm. You might be able to qualify for those monies. A small business owner like Pete's Nerd Emporium, you maybe only have an employee or 2. You would qualify for this. This is designed to put some cash in those hands of those folks who are obviously going to struggle to pay their bills. And those, at a minimum, we are trying to get an accurate list of those businesses in town to cross-reference with our list. And so it's very important that people, pass this around when we get the link up tomorrow. We wanted to announce it tonight. Mm-hmm. And I believe Anne-Marie is in the final phases of a flyer. And so there'll be a click here button tomorrow. And, we'll try to get the word out as much as we can. And folks should take the next 2 or 3 weeks to promote that and have people apply. And if in doubt, apply.
Right. Thank you. That's great.
She has a question.
Oh, Anne-Marie has another comment. No?
No, I won't agree.
Yeah, I think you're muted again.
I was just curious if it mattered if the employees were full-time or part-time. If you have, 6 employees or 7 who only work limited numbers of hours, does it matter? Is it just strictly numbers, or do the hours? I was just curious.
It is just any employee, full-time or part-time, doesn't matter.
That's a good question. Thank you, Anne-Marie. And I did not hear Chrissy when she said what the date of the Zoom was gonna, was that a Zoom meeting that people could apply for tomorrow? Click on the.
We'll get the Zoom information out tomorrow. It's September 16th from 2 to 4 p.m. And that's the town of Birmingham.
Is there a deadline? Do we know anything about the deadlines, or Jay was shaking his head no, so I assume that.
No.
They're hoping to get the application out sometime at the end of September, but nothing's set in stone yet. So we'll keep you updated on that.
Okay, and this is coming from the state? Federal?
Federal.
Okay.
Federal money.
Okay, that's great. We got to make sure all of our small businesses know about that. Right, and we have, I know Lisa Piana, the FDP head, is here on the call, so she'll help get out the word as well. Does anyone else have a question about it? No? Brian?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Let's continue on the next agenda item, which is the market analysis and market position discussion and work plan. The fun stuff, right?
Yeah. I think this would be fun. Take it away.
I'm going to throw it over to Jamie.
But we're not, some people may not be able to see this from Zoom, but we got this, as everybody knows, we had to reschedule this meeting, which actually worked out really well to have it before the council meeting tonight. Pete, you are awesome. You're just zooming right in on the Zoom. it's still likely not to get the print here, but the big announcement, and I think we've been able to get the word out for the last week or so, is we're trying to take this moment where I think as we enter the fall and the winter season, many businesses have been able to get financial assistance or been able to, because of phase 3, been able to open their doors more. And I think for, a solid 2 to 3 months, a lot of folks have been just, going along here. We designed to try to do these specifically for the fall and winter, because I think this is a time where as the stimulus money starts to dry up over the next 5 or 6 months, and we're starting to see businesses close in other communities, pubs or various things. It's kind of a really opportune time, I believe, to try to do some listening sessions, to try to get the business community, citizens, stakeholders, everybody on various calls to just throw out some ideas and help guide our work, and also give us, I think, some important information we all want to hear, which is what's life like for you in your mm-hmm. store or your business or your concerns. We've tried to break them up into categories. You know, obviously people can attend anyone they want. We have gotten some bunch of inquiries already about which one would maybe best fit certain businesses. So on September 30th is our first one at 6:30 p.m. I do believe those have already been posted on the town calendar. There's an RSVP system. You don't need to RSVP, but it does help if folks do, so it would be helpful. The first one is downtown Franklin, also the Crossing, Franklin Crossing in the Franklin Cultural District. October 19th, we're going to focus on restaurants, hotels, and hospitality. October 19th at 6:30. Retail, personal services, and fitness will be November 16th at 6:30. Industrial parks and manufacturing, December 9th at 6:30. And one that should be incredibly fascinating, real estate, construction, and housing. You know, obviously there's been a lot of development in Franklin. I think that will be an interesting one to get the perspective of those businesses, or just as important as anybody else in Franklin, what they're going to be seeing coming forward in 2021 and 22. That'll be January 13th. This is going to drive a big part of the work plan for the fall. And also the other elements, some of the other ideas that we are going to try to put into action we're going to try to do some reshuffling of the town websites, both for the cultural district as well as the town's economic development pages. Anne-Marie, that's no small task, but we're at a point where we redid the website 5 years ago, and for the economic development piece, we've added things, but we haven't really promoted it. And we're also going to do some ideas that were vetted out here in August. We're going to move forward with some of the industry specific brochures. Anne-Marie is going to catapult a Franklin First social media and marketing message about if you need to go get a t-shirt, you need to go get food, you need to go get your services, let's buy in Franklin First. Let's give us a shot here. Let's not just run down 495 quick to the next town. You know, these are the types of things that, you know, I think will make a huge impact, you know, throughout the winter for a lot of people in Franklin. And so we're going to be doing a Franklin First campaign. And then the last thing that we're going to be looking to do is we're going to look to take advantage of the QR code idea that was brought forth. We really did love the placemat idea. I think a lot of people actually from that meeting jumped on board with that. In fact, when I was at a restaurant for a long weekend in August, as many people who may know, if you go out now, you put your phone up, mm-hmm. your camera, and the menu comes up so that nobody's touching menus and stuff like right. that. I think QR codes are getting in people's heads a little bit more. They're easy. And if we can, you know, come up with stickers for outside of people's businesses, or if we can, you know, restaurants have some placemats, some other ideas, we're certainly open to many more. But try to get a specific brand like that out there. And we really want to drive a lot of that traffic to the Franklin Cultural District website. It's a tremendous website. It's highly underutilized. There's a lot of referential information and links on there about how to buy tickets for shows, what restaurants are open, mm-hmm. and other things like that. So we're looking at just trying to not completely redo the whole website, but just maybe reorient people and try to drive a lot of traffic there. That's where that's really the website that's going to drive purchasing and consumer behavior, and maybe we get some out-of-towners to come in and spend some money too, you know, at some of the restaurants and things like that. So, you know, Anne-Marie, I think that's a lot of work, first of all, but she's sitting there sweating.
All right, I'm like, okay, now we're up to 2023.
I know, now we're up to 2023. I will say that Lisa Piana from the Franklin Downtown Partnership, Scott Martin, Brian Taberner, Anne-Marie and I did have met a couple times over the last couple weeks to get the Franklin Partnerships ideas. We'll certainly be working with them collaboratively on a few projects. And they'll also have a big role, obviously, in the September 30th event, where hopefully a lot of the businesses will come out and give some feedback as well. So that's a really quick overview of all of the stuff. I know. Those are the big highlights. So that was what we wanted to try to announce and have a discussion about. And obviously, happy to hear any feedback.
That's awesome, Jamie. There's so much there. Good job, Anne-Marie. You have a lot to do. I like the idea of helping people find things to try Franklin First. I like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people say to me, I don't know where to look.
Yeah.
So if we can drive that, to that website. That's really good. Let's go to the council. So does anybody have any comment? Question, comment?
Yeah, no, just a comment.
Councilor Jones?
I think the QR code thing is a good idea. It's considering everybody pretty much has their phone on them these days. It's a great marketing tool, and it's a great information access for people for even the silliest of things. You know, they come up, somebody wants to post their QR code on the outside of their business. You can go to Agway, you can put your QR code on the outside of the business somewhere, and it would pull up either specials or information about the products and or whatever the marketing company has. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. And you put the QR codes on the placemats and so on and so forth. It can pull up menus for restaurants. It can pull up anything that anyone's put underneath that QR code. And I think once people really, like you said, Jamie, get in the habit of scanning the QR codes, mm-hmm. it'll click, and they'll actually start noticing the QR codes more often. It'll become more frequent. It's a wonderful no-touch way of doing things.
You know,
in this day and age with COVID and everyone so paranoid about touching surfaces and stuff, you just put your phone up to the QR code, scan it, you got everything you need.
I love having the restaurant menus up. That's really great, right? And it's something that we can all do now.
Yep.
Too, you know. Councilor Bisanti.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairperson. Through the chair, and I apologize for me missing the last meeting. I explained to you what happens. A lot of families, a couple of emergencies going on, but I'm just a little confused, and because I missed the last meeting on the QR, can you just enlighten me a little? Because I do see, and I hate to date myself to be a dinosaur here, but I do see issues with an older generation really participating with a tablet or an iPhone or a smartphone, and some people just aren't up to speed on that, and I'm just concerned. But could just the QR, I assume, stands for something recognition, or could someone help me out here?
A qualified recognition. I'm making that up. It's like any government acronym, you know. You know, what's CRBD? It's like, I don't know, I'll just take a guess.
So what's entailed to me? Is it an app on the phone, or is it your phone?
What is that? iPhone. What I mean is whether it's a Samsung or an Apple or whatever it may be, whatever you have, most modern phones. Nowadays, depending on your the age of your phone or the software updates on your phone, just by even going on to camera and taking a picture of something.
Okay.
If you put your camera in front of the QR code, you have a built-in QR reader into your phone. So what it does is it recognizes it's a barcode.
It
recognizes the code, and what it does is it automatically pulls up an associated website that has information relative to that particular code. So it could pull up a menu, it could pull up a website, it could pull up.
I don't think it would be something that would be only QR codes though. I think maybe that's what you're worried about,
yes,
right?
That's right.
I think it would be for the people out there that have their phone,
right,
that use that
just
regularly,
yeah.
But we wouldn't get rid of everything else.
Right.
It
sounds relatively user friendly. I mean, mm-hmm. even my dad, when he got in his late 80s, he was still fascinated by technology and he embraced it. And I embrace it too, but I just get worried about there are people who are not embracing it.
Oh, absolutely.
I want that to be open to everybody. That's all.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, do you have any comments, Councilor Chandler?
I did have a comment. I wanted to get back on that Franklin First thing, because I just think that's such a great idea, because I was trying to think of an example off my head that something like when we even ran for council and you put in, where can you buy our signs? You know how much I love signs. and everything took you to like San Antonio, Texas and Arkansas. But there's three or four places in Franklin right here that you would never know sold those signs. If mm-hmm. like a list like that would be great.
Yeah.
Just something even small like that.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. I know it's a lot of work, Anne Marie.
She loves it.
Thank you.
I know she loves it.
Well, I know Jamie wants to make a comment, but
or at least she has to.
I think Anne Marie had her hand up first. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Hello everyone. Through the chair. Just so you know, QR stands for quick response. And
Basanti, I plan on using them in conjunction with other things. So, you know, for people who are familiar, it's certainly a great way to take someone very quickly to a designated place. I've had some people ask me about broken links, and I plan to make sure that I use what's called dynamic QR codes, which means that if you ever want to change where it directs, you have the ability to do that. So it's certainly a concern if maybe, you know, a year down the road or 2 years down the road, maybe you need to make a change, but you don't want to have to replace all of those codes that are on your marketing pieces. If you get a dynamic code, you can change where it links without having to redo everything. So just to, in case anyone was wondering about that, that is something that we can make sure that they work and they'll work consistently in the future. But I'll certainly be listing, you know, websites and other ways of communicating. It's just an additional way to capture an audience that people are becoming more familiar with. I know I was out to dinner with my mother-in-law not that long ago, and we had to show her how to use it at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then she came across it at another place, and now she knows what to do. So I'm learning her for sure, but it's becoming a lot more mainstream. Like as was said, it especially during COVID, you know, people are looking for anything they don't have to clean, touch. So I'm hoping that it becomes a lot more mainstream across all ages.
Thank you, Amy.
That's great. Thank you, Anne Marie. Yeah. We're going to throw this back over to Jamie.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So a couple of quick comments. So obviously the part of the exciting part about doing some of the website work is it's constantly going to evolve. Mm-hmm. There's never going to be a day where it's done, and there's never going to be a day where everything's there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what we're thinking about is, you know, various categories like downtown, the restaurants in the downtown area, restaurants in the crossing area, restaurants on the interstate exits, right? Like trying to come up with some categories to help gauge some people about it's not just a big free for all, but where can you buy local produce? Where can you get retail? Where can you get certain things? It's going to take Anne Marie quite a bit of time to get each one of those chunks kind of done. And we're going to try to do them in conjunction, actually, with some of the various brochure ideas that came up that I think, Councilor Jones, you had some examples from where your family went on vacation of those old brochures used to stick, used to get at the hotel rooms, you know, with Canobie Lake Park and all these, right? You know, up the old Orchard Beach, right? So that's actually part of what is going to be kind of combined. So some of those brochures are going to be in hard print, hard copy anyways, in terms of what there is to do. And I think one of the ideas, I think it was Councilor Jones had about, you know, the local brewery scene here, right? Maybe a couple of distilleries, right? You've got a winery, a brewery, and a distillery. So that'll be one flyer. And then there'll be another one. I think the AgCom actually has one already, or a map. We'll try to reutilize some of that and package it all in one place. Mm-hmm. So some people that trying to, again, direct that traffic, particularly the cultural district website, which is really nice, but very underutilized because not a lot of people are aware of it. And it just starts to, hopefully the word of mouth spreads. And what we're hoping to do is kind of nail that around the fall when hopefully, you know, people are starting to try to think of, well, where can I go to get all of my goods and services?
Right.
And that's linking it up with the Franklin First. So the first couple months are going to take a little bit of time to get some of those adjustments on the site. But then in the long run, over the winter, I hopefully when people need that business, not as if they don't now, but that Franklin First can keep and we'll start really encouraging people to go there and, you know, hopefully it'll spread. I was noted by Mr. Fasciano, it's worth pointing out, QR codes also work on TV screens. So I think what he's telling us is that he's willing to put some QR codes and some websites up on Franklin TV as some public service announcements. Right, Pete? He's said it on camera. So yeah, he's committed to it.
He's
going to do a public service announcement as we kick off the Franklin First campaign. And I think something like that would hopefully come across very popular on Franklin TV and the audience that watches FTV as well. So,
yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jamie. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Is there anybody in the audience that would like to make a comment or ask a question? I know Kobe's out there. Wait. Amy O'Brien, are you there, Kobe?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I could give just a thumbs up. I think that all sounded like a good idea. I like the idea of. I immediately thought of that image of those old pamphlets that you know would find at hotels and stuff like that, of all the local businesses. So I think a digital form of that could be accessed through a QR code, that makes sense to me. And I like the idea of having it on placemats too, with those.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you. Councillor Bisanti has another.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I'm just thinking money all the time. So is there any charging? Are we be doing any, is this all gratuitous? Or are we charging for space on placemats? Are we going to be charging for the QRs? I mean, can we maybe a small fee or to cover the costs or?
I'm going to let Jamie answer that.
Yeah. So we haven't come up with the full design yet. I don't think we're going to be out there doing ads quite yet. I've noticed that there's a lot of those, I don't even know what you call them, but the little placeholders in the middle where you kind of have the specials, you know, in a lot of restaurants, they say drink specials and it's like a little triangular thing. I've seen those in a lot of places. We might start with something like that. I think that's also something that we're going to have to engage some of the restaurants with and some of the other folks, like what would your place want to see, a full mm-hmm. placemat or not? It did come up about the fee. I think that gets really complicated in terms of money transactions. And if you only have so many, and it's a lot of coordination. So I think we're going to try to stick with, at least for now, it's not to say that we couldn't do something in the future. But I think for now, we're just going to stick to something simple that drives traffic to a lot of the Franklin businesses. I would note on that same idea, that's at least the next 6 month work plan.
Mm-hmm.
And this all ultimately leads up to strategies that we're employing for some additional print marketing of the town later on down the road. We've talked to the Worcester Business Journal, Metro West Tourism Bureau, and many others that we've invested in to try to continue to get that word out. And so we're looking at that in the future. We're also, from a lot of the listening sessions, I think there's going to be a lot of ideas that come out of those that hopefully will piggyback on this as we get to next summer and beyond, because that's just how long in the future we think. And so, I think that there's a lot of other activities down, you know, the road that we'll be able to do. And I hope that a lot of ideas like this, you never know, some of that stuff may become revenue generators. I know there was some other ideas about putting some sponsorships on signs, mm-hmm. you know, not the wayfinding ones, but maybe some other ones. We'll have to look into that. They're not as easy to coordinate as one would think. And sometimes the finances can get a little difficult about, you know, how many want to be in, you know, do you choose some over others? It's a difficult thing. So we'll see what happens with those down the line.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. I think I love the idea of the listening sessions. I know that was in the market analysis that was done, that we really need to reach out to our businesses and see what they need, what the town can do to help them. And I'm really excited for those. And the results that we get from that will drive the rest of what we do.
Exactly.
Right. There is one other thing that I noticed that I read through the plan, the market study a few times again, and every time, like you say, Jamie, you see something different, right? One of the things I noticed was that before COVID, no one biked around Franklin, and now all you see are people biking and running and going outside, right, being outdoors. And one of the things I know that you were working on this earlier was the complete streets, and that's actually in the study. And I didn't know if that was something we could continue to work on now as we, you know, get ready for the spring, maybe. And if there was a way, I know that there are a lot of intersections where people bike that the lights do not recognize a bicyclist there. So it doesn't change for the bicyclist. And in my mind, that's not safe, right? So more people are biking. We need to make sure the streets are safe for everybody to be on. And I didn't know if there was a way that we could maybe try to get a grant to do that, or if we could work on that through for the spring.
through you, Madam Chair. The news is better than that. We had a staff meeting today. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend, where we were going to discuss as a staff complete streets. We've discussed it many times. Brian actually has sample policies. We actually have a draft that was written several years ago, or a few years ago, for Franklin. I'm actually hopeful that we'll be able to get the policy moving forward in October or November. And the reason why that's important is it's long overdue. We should have had a policy done a while ago, but you know, there's obviously competing demands on everybody's time. But the couple of the drivers right now that are there is, number one, when you're a complete streets community, you're obviously open to a lot more grant money. And you also equally, if not more important, when you're a complete streets community, when you're applying for other major grants from the state or federal government, particularly the state, they give you additional points on your application if you're a complete streets. So we just applied for a $2.5 million MassWorks grant to put a light in at the corner of Grove and Washington, and pave from Washington up Grove to Kenwood Circle. Okay. We hope to find out the result of that grant by the beginning of the new year. If we do not get it, we will apply again next August. That's the way a lot of these grants go, because too many people apply for too little money. Well, as I was talking to the consultant, you know, one of the questions on the application, are you a complete streets community? And when you have to check in the box no, you know, it really bums you out, because you know that there's other towns that might get a little bit bump above you. So, the additional thing is, to your point about biking and lights and pedestrian safety, that we've had numerous conversations right at the council level, you know, being a complete streets community will help us hopefully get to my real dream project, which is kind of basically creating a Franklin Greenway. And how do you create a network of sidewalks, bike lanes, other travel mechanisms that connect the big areas in town, the State Forest, you know, the northern part on Lincoln Street to downtown, just like we've tried to do with the SNET, just like we've tried to do with other projects, and kind of come up with our own Emerald Necklace here in Franklin, which is possible. And I know the DPW has actually applied for some technical assistance money through a grant earlier this summer to see if we can get a consultant on with there. One of the barriers to that is complete streets. So it's really the perfect time. We really got to do it. The complete streets policy is a framework. These aren't requirements, and we'll go through that debate hopefully in a couple months. But I know that Brian and the staff did discuss it actually today at 3 o'clock. And after Labor Day, we'll be circling back as a team and making sure that we have the right proposal to put in forth of the council and or planning board when it's the right time.
Oh, that's awesome news.
Yeah. We're trying to work on non-COVID like, stuff.
I don't even know. That's great.
It's great to work on non-COVID related things. You know?
I was wondering if Brian or Amy wanted to add anything to that.
Yep.
Well, regarding the complete streets, there isn't much more to add. I think everything Jamie said is where we're at. I did talk with the town engineer today, who is going to be making some changes to the draft complete street policy that we have. And like Jamie mentioned, hopefully in the very near future, we'll be coming forward with it. It needs to be accepted by planning board and town council. So there's a couple of steps there. So it may take a little bit of time, education, things of that nature, but I do believe that you have a very good chance of getting this going soon. And it does help with grants. There's no doubt about that.
Brian, I was wondering if you could explain to people a little bit, like what it means.
What complete streets is? Complete streets is when you look at a capital project, if you've accepted complete streets policy, then you're looking at it in the way that the policy states. So you're looking at it, you have to look at the needs of all roadway and roadway users, pedestrians and bicycles and everything. This is not really a policy for off-road trails. It's for roadways specifically. And for sidewalks, of course, that are directly related to the roadway. So we want to make sure that there are certain, when you design a road, you design it in an appropriate way that's going to keep everybody in mind. People of all ages and abilities and things of that nature, and all the different types of users. So, you know, at the time when roads were constructed, even now sometimes, the car has always been the, you know, get the car through the area as fast as you can, has always been the way people design things up to a certain point in history. So Complete Streets is looking at everybody, all the different types of users. So that's essentially what the policy is. The town would have a policy that states we have to look at everybody and everything related to the roadways, not just getting a car from one end of town to the other.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have a...
Meaning bike paths? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Councilor Bisanti.
Oh, yes, thank you. I think, I'm not sure that's where O'Brien was going, but I assume that also means bike paths and bike lanes,
if,
and the appropriate lighting.
If it is within the road right-of-way, then it is part of a complete street policy, correct? But if it's an off-road, it goes through, for instance, a SNET, it's not for motorized vehicles, that would not be part of the complete street policy, okay, just to give you an idea.
So. Thank you, Brian.
Okay. Yep. Councillor Jones.
Yep, no, just a comment. I think it's a good way forward. I definitely think it's going to take a lot of discussion. I mean, obviously, many communities have tried to modify their streets in order to meet these requirements. It's a significant infrastructure change and challenge to boot. I mean, my concern is always is the safety and well-being of the citizens. I mean, I think putting bike paths and streets is a logical thing to do in order to accommodate the safety of the bicyclists, but it also adds to a dangerous situation. Because one thing I've learned, having worked in the city as long as I have, for as much as they try to accommodate the bicyclists, it's almost like now you've added a second level of unsafe individuals,
yeah,
who think they can blow red lights and cut off pedestrians and right, cut through crosswalks and all that other stuff that they do. It's a little crazy. Granted, it's all that's people to blame, not the bikes. But my concern is that we really just give this a lot. If we move forward with this, that we really stop and have some real vetted discussions about what changes are going to be made before we even think about moving forward with it. However, on that note, that light at Panther Way has always been troublesome, even just on my motorcycle. So just as I'm pulling up to that light, might may or may not always recognize you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're right. There's some lights that definitely need some adjusting in order to accommodate smaller vehicles.
Yep.
Yeah. And with the size of some electric cars, maybe they won't get recognized either.
Maybe. Councilor Chandler, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
Yes, actually, I was very excited to hear about, this is something I wanted for 20 years, Grove in Washington.
Yes.
That light, they've needed that light forever.
Mm-hmm.
That was, thank you. That was.
We don't have it yet, though.
No, it's,
okay.
Go ahead, and then I'll finish.
Okay.
No, right. I had one other question about the bike lanes. Yeah. And we don't have an engineer on there, right? Mike Magaleo's not on there.
No, he's not.
I didn't know how much weight it was to actually trip that wire to move the lights. Like,
they're magnetic, most of those trip lights. There's either a sensor or there's an in-street magnet. It's a magnetic sensor.
Right, usually it's underneath, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So usually a car rolls up and it trips it.
It's not tripping it. It's
what it's breaking doing. A magnetic.
It's picking up a magnet. It's picking up the steel from the vehicle above it, and it senses that.
So what does a city do on that last strip when a bike rolls up?
It would usually a motion sensor. If they're trying to accommodate bicycles, it's going to be a motion sensor because you can't really pick up bicycles with those street sensors.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. Mm.
You can't pick up a bicycle, but they have a sensor that will pick up a bicycle.
If they put in those types of sensors for that purpose, it'd have to be specifically for that purpose.
Right. There is one on 140 when you go down Main Street, and then you to get onto. So there are places that have them.
Yes.
Then they have a little bike on them that say,
yep,
put your bike here, and it will
right,
and it will see you.
There are specific type of sensors for specific types of vehicles.
I was just wondering how much it would be to add that, because...
That's why we need a grant.
Yeah.
It's only a small area, and I've seen them just... There are companies that just do that. Like, when we change the lights on 140, they just come in, they cut it out.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not a major construction.
If I may. Yeah. The vehicles themselves, whether they be the bicycles or the cars, actually, for all intents and purposes, have to follow the same rules of the road as the car anyways.
Correct.
So they have to wait for a green light, no different than a car has to wait for a green light. So the only actual individuals that are allowed to pause traffic are pedestrians, because anyone on any type of motorcycle, bicycle, or vehicle have to follow the same rules of the road as a car. So a lot of times you're not going to see, I'm not going to see those specialized sensors for bicycle unless it's a specific area laid out for the purposes of bicycle traffic.
Okay. Any other questions?
No, that's it.
Right, Jamie's waiting. No.
Yeah. I just appreciate it. I know the Washington Grove thing has been here for a while. I've told the planning board numerous times at various meetings on projects where I've had to attend. I'm committed to this. Just so that folks know, it's almost $1 million project, just the light alone. So it's not something you can just go drum up the money from a few leftover accounts and go do it. The interesting thing about the light is that I think it's gotten back to its normal state recently but during COVID, there really wasn't a lot as much. So this is the right thing to do. It's also the right way, I believe, to try to take the financial relief off the taxpayer so that it's being paid for by either another entity, meaning the state, where in this case, we didn't pay for the consultant to put the application together. The developer did, who was a proponent on 206 Grove Street. So I got him to work with the planning board and us, and we came up with a number, and we hired the best consultant I know to do this, April Anderson, who created the MassWorks program.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with April for almost 20 years. We worked in the legislature for many years together, and we're trying to make real attempts to try to solve that problem. But to the complete streets issue, this is a good example of complete streets. The state is basically already complete streets. As part of the MassWorks grant to get that money on Grove Street, we had to create a bike lane.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is actually part of the goal, is that this is a long-term infrastructure philosophy for the community about how you use that space. A lot of folks in town are familiar with the road rebuilding that we do. We try to shrink the roads down sometimes. We try to use the money efficiently. But that's complete streets, and we've been doing some of this. Mm-hmm. And we may not be getting credit or state assistance as much as we should have through the years, that we really should try to take more advantage of. And I do think over the long haul, even if the trails aren't part of a street, those trails do come out onto a street.
Right.
And in the case of the SNET out on the Grove, ultimately it would be really wonderful if you had a bike lane up one side, you had a repaved road up to the SNET, a new parking lot in the state forest, we were able to get the money to do that. And over a 5-year window, you look at all that work and you put it all together cumulatively at the end, you go, wow, that was a big improvement there. Ultimately to get up to Beaver Street to the fields. I mean, there's a lot of long-term thinking that we put in with that. And it's kind of like stormwater. We want to get credit for what we've been doing or what we're trying to do. And complete streets is just an obvious next step. As Councilor Jones pointed out, we'll certainly have, I'm sure, a lengthy debate about
mm-hmm.
the contents of that policy. It's important to note it'll come out then. It's not a bylaw. It's just a framework and a guidance document that the state really looks, really looks to us as communities to really endorse that. So, hopefully that'll be a successful conversation, and hopefully we'll be able to do it in the fall.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great. Kobe. Thank you. I know that
Kobe
has his hand up. Kobe.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to commend the town for looking into this. Went through the whole market study, and the first thing that I took note of was opportunities to improve biking and walking in downtown. And I'm happy that you noticed that more people were biking through COVID. And as someone who bikes around town a lot, I do have problems with the lights. I have problems with streets that aren't accommodating to biking. So I appreciate any efforts, and I look forward to future conversations on this stuff. If I could just throw out a few places, because I also noted in the market study were opportunities to improve biking and walking on Lincoln Street and Maple Street. I would throw those, out for consideration. But I also appreciate Grove Street in terms of, connecting more to SNET.
Thank you for those comments. That's great. Does anyone else have any other comments, Councilor Bisanti?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Have you seen in some towns when I travel throughout the New England area, I'm sure you've seen the bikes, the stationary bunks that anybody can have access to.
Right.
I mean, I've always liked that idea. Some people would say that's just leaving junk around the town, but I don't see it that way. And, if at strategic spots in town, they have these bicycle stations and these bicycle racks. And again, not a money-making bonanza, but maybe they get access or passes to use those bicycles.
Yeah, you can rent the bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that a lot of places around in different countries, even.
Just kind of spitballing here.
Blue Cross Blue Shield has a whole setup of bicycles on various locations throughout the city for the purposes of traversing the city.
That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. It's a good idea. Councilor Jones, do you have any last thing you think we should start to look at?
No. This is good.
All right. Councilor Chandler?
No.
If I could throw out
something to say at the end. But...
okay. Kobe, go ahead.
Yeah, just one more consideration, because he touched upon it quickly and also called for in the market study, was bike locks and opportunities to lock your bike downtown, as we look to encourage that more.
Right, the bike rack, right? Bike racks, you need a place to, once you bike, you get down there, then you want to put your bike somewhere.
Mm. Right.
Where do you put it without it getting in the way of people?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Because you want to be able to go get an ice cream or something.
we can even add the local bike shops to our restaurant menus with QR codes.
That's right, the bike shops. Yep.
Right out here, always think.
Yep, definitely. I was wondering if, we have a few minutes left. I was wondering if, Lisa does have her hand up. Okay. I'm like, Lisa, do you have any comments about what you'd like to see us do? I think you're muted, so let's...
I kept muting myself.
There you go.
Sorry about that. Jamie mentioned, we had a couple really good meetings with Anne-Marie and Brian as well. We're very excited to work on some of these projects with the town. And anyway, the partnership can... communicate with businesses for the town. We're happy to do that. Our website gets a lot of hits, and our newsletter gets opened a lot. So we have really good numbers on social media as well. So we're happy to get any communication, as I had mentioned to Jamie earlier. Just real quick, the partnership has a general meeting Thursday, September 10th. All are invited. It's a Zoom meeting. And it's at 8:30, Thursday the 10th. And we're going to be going over some of the projects that the partnership is working on as well. And we invite all businesses and residents to join us. Just two things I want to make note of is we are offering businesses to do a 30-second video that we will post on social media. It's just a great opportunity to continue to remind people to shop Franklin. And also we're going to be meeting, and we're happy to have more volunteers help us with fall decorating in the downtown center. We'll be meeting tomorrow on Zoom, and then we'll be looking for volunteers to help us with the decorating. So just wanted to let everybody know about those two things.
Thank you, Lisa. If people wanted to help with the decoration and log into the Zoom meeting, how would they find the link?
Sure. They can email me, because it is tomorrow morning, but they can email me at downtown.franklin@yahoo.com, and I'll get them connected. It's a committee meeting, but we're going to be having more committee meetings. So if they can't make tomorrow, we're also looking for volunteers to help with the actual day of decorating, which hasn't been set yet.
OK. Okay, so there's plenty of ways for people to volunteer, right? Yeah.
and sponsor as well. We need some sponsors as well.
Okay. All right, that's great. Thank you for that input. Does anyone have any last comments they want to do tonight? No?
Yeah.
No? Councilor Chandler?
I just wanted to say thank you to Chairman Mercer and Madam Chair for letting me be on this committee. And just like when I started on the council, I was a little quiet tonight, but I'll be happy to start talking more once I get my feet wet a little bit, you know?
We're happy to have you, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Councilor Jones and
yes, Councilor. We're all very happy to have you here.
Maybe see what kind of perspective I can bring.
Yes. Excellent. I think I would accept them. Thank you. Accept the motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you all.
Good job. Oh,
wait a minute.
Oh, that's cool. Good night. Thanks for watching.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana. Copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.